goodness, his kindness, and all of his mercy. I'm going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5. 1 through 5, then skip down to 12 through 15. Then verse 17, 22, 20 to 22 and 24. And that's a lot, but just, I'll try to keep you involved. Amen. But truly today, we just bless the Lord. The question is, how many of us have some stuff going on in our lives? Yeah, all of us got some stuff. If you ain't got no stuff, if you watch the inauguration and everything that's taking place, there's some stuff going on. But we thank God our God is a keeper. Yes. Amen. And God can make a way out of no way. So we are all experiencing something. Amen. My wife was telling me, she said, it seems like every family is facing some type of medical challenge with loved ones. Just something going on all around. But how many know God is faithful? Yes. The Bible says God is faithful. And in all that we're going through, we will never suffer to be tempted above that which we are able. But God will, with the temptation, make a way to what? Escape that we might be able to bear. Because God is faithful. Amen. So our scripture reading, starting verse 1, reads, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a, he said, you got a whole lot of trouble coming your way. Anybody feel like they got a lot of stuff coming your way? A great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazar-Zeru-Martabar, which is in Gaza. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah came they to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Now verse 12. And this is Jehoshaphat's prayer. He says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have a thing. He said, this is a great challenge. This is a big one. He said, Lord, we don't have nobody against this great company that cometh against us, neither knowing what. Hallelujah. When it's a big thing, we don't know what to do. But Jehoshaphat said, but our eyes upon thee and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asa, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah. Yes, Lord. And ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be, it might be coming, but don't you be afraid. Nor is me by reason of whatever this big thing is coming against you. Hallelujah. Experience, or I don't know how, I don't know when. He said, the Lord "Hear me, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endured forever." And when they began to sing, and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were coming against Judah, and they were smitten. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we realize that we're living in troublous times. Lord, we realize today we're living in challenging times. Lord, we realize that we battle day in and day out, and many times we don't know where our help is coming from. But Lord, today our eyes are fixed on thee, and it's in thee that our holy hills that we look for help. Lord, we ask you to send a word to heal. Oh God, send a word to deliver. Lord, send a word to set free. Oh God, right now we just praise your name. Lord, we glorify you and we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name? Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. And I thought it actually going to come from verses 21 and 22. And we know, like I said, how many of us have some challenges?
Amen.
I don't know if they're health challenges. I don't know if they're physical challenges. I don't know if they're mental challenges. I don't know if they're family challenges. But we have challenges. Amen. And if we look at things at face value, how many know we just don't know how we're going to make it? Amen. And you know what challenges like to do? Challenges like to make us shut up. Challenges like to make us be quiet. Amen. But it says, verse 21 of this chapter, it said, when they had consulted with the people, he appointed
singers unto the Lord.
So, well, what in the world is singing unto the Lord going to do with all we're going through? Well, the battle ain't yours. The battle is the Lord. So he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the Lord, praise the beauty of holiness as they went out. Now, picture this, in a water. Now, he said, what kind of multitude are they? What?
Great
multitude. Now, what does it look like? The army with all the weapons are behind the praisers. Because the praisers went out
before.
Now, when we look at this, what in the world could they be thinking about? I heard the Bible say that God inhabits the praises of his people. When you begin to praise God, praise is the only thing that can touch the very throne of God. So when you begin to praise God, even while you're going through,
yes,
Lord, God will come to see about you. And it said, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing, they didn't shoot a weapon. They didn't swing a sword. They didn't shoot an arrow. But they began to praise the Lord. And it said, when they began to praise God, God sent an ambush. And the enemies were smitten one of another. So our message today is an anyhow praise. An anyhow praise. What's the anyhow praise? Yes, I'm going through, but I'm going to praise him. Maybe things don't look so good, but I'm going to praise him. When I look at face value, I don't have the money, but I'm going to praise him. much. How many of us want to be strong all by ourselves? Try to fix our situations all by ourselves. Hallelujah. When you're in trouble. And it's a big problem. You need to get your husband. You need to get your wife. You need to get your children. You need to get everybody involved. Hallelujah. If you can't pray with me, can you at least praise the Lord? If you can't sing a song, can you praise the Lord? Hallelujah. It says when they begin to sing and praise the Lord begins to work. Why? Because God inhabits. That means that God dwells in the midst of praise. I don't understand how God's going to do it, but when somebody says, I'm going to praise him anyhow. I don't have the health of my life, but I'm going to praise him anyhow. I don't have a husband of my wife with me, but I'm going to praise him anyhow. I have an anyhow praise. If I need to praise the Lord, my hope is in me. Hallelujah. I got to praise.
Yeah.
encompasses whatever you experience.
How are you supposed to offer it?
Thank you, sir.
things. A sacrifice has to be what? Dead. Now, throughout Israel's history, they had to kill the sacrifice. But then Paul tells them in Romans 12, 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you start right there. You got to do what? Present. So you might be in the midst of this, but you have a willing decision. You can either present it or you can hold on to it. He said, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So it's like you're going to it, but you still got to present yourself as a sacrifice. Now, the sacrifice is a thing that's bothering you. That sacrifice, now you can't allow that thing to kill itself. Right? A lot of our trials we're going through, they're going to die. They can never give God a sacrifice and died on his own. Because that was an unfit sacrifice. You ever see? So this sacrifice is trying to say, I can't just let it happen, just trump something up on God by itself, but I got to present it. Whatever that thing is, you got to give it to God. It's a sacrifice, but you cannot let it die on its own. You got to kill it. Then after you kill it, you got to give it to God. Then when you give it to God, God said, wait a minute, you need that trial to get you down. That situation that can get advantage of you, God said, I'm about to send a help from the holy hill. I'm about to send help from the sanctuary. So the thing with our sacrifice, we let to enter our sacrifice, die, and then we give it to God. God won't accept that. You got to kill it. Like, whatever you're going through, kill it. Now, we're not talking about no physical killing. Right? We need more violence, you know? We ain't talking about, right? We ain't talking about all this stuff that's been going on since our inauguration. Amen. We serve a God of peace. The Bible says, for all peace with all men and holiness without which no man. So we're not talking about a violence in a physical sense. But some of that stuff has been bothering us forever. We need to give it. Give it to God. Well, what do I give to God? After he saw it? No, because then it's dead. You got to give it to God while it's still alive. While you're still going through, you got to give God a sacrifice of praise. Somebody said, well, when God delivers me out of this, you know how many people say, when God delivers me out of this, I'm going to be shot. I'm going to be praising. I'm going to be running. You better put that praise before the enemy. You got to put that praise before the army. will block her. Will you be doing it intentionally? No. Inadvertently, your emotions, whatever it is, if whatever the emotion is, it will block God. Well, how do we know? Remember, the Bible says, the Lord asked Peter, he said, who do men say I am? Peter spoke up, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Simon, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. In the top of the scripture. And you move down about four or five scriptures when Jesus starts telling them, he said, I'm about to be sacrificed. Then Peter's emotion, the same woman just got the revelation, misses the message. Well, how did he miss it? Peter's emotion got involved. But his emotions got involved. He said, no, Lord, we're not going to let them kill you. We're not going to let them do anything to you. We're going to stop this. They won't be sacrificing you. The Bible looked at Peter. He didn't speak to Peter, but he spoke to Satan. You read about yourself in Matthew 16 chapter. He said, get thee behind me. But who was speaking? Because the emotions was blocking the voice of God. Look at him and say, get rid of all those emotions, Peter. Because your emotions are blocking God. And now, who's speaking? Satan. Did he say it? He said, get me behind me. It's because you don't care nothing about the things of God. Your emotions will block you. Right? Now I know when they're emotional. They are emotional. Right? But you cannot allow those emotions to lock up.
Amen.
I don't care who it is. Some people say, well, my whole marriage is falling apart. Don't allow that emotion to block God. My children are acting up. God, whatever. Don't allow that to block God. Because when that block God, who steps in? Sin. So the devil is true. He's been doing his business for thousands of years. Amen. But let me get to these scriptures because I know y'all said it's about time to go over there and get some of that goulash. Psalms 22 verse 1 reads, this is David, and this is the same prayer that the Lord himself cried out. He said, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my Lord, David is praying to God because he's going through a trial. He says, oh my God, I cry. Anybody been crying in the daytime? He said, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, he said, I'm not silent. He said, but thou art. But listen, that right there changes the whole scripture right there. Thou art.
Holy.
You know what holy means? God is pure. God doesn't have an agenda. God won't hurt you. And God won't fail you. God won't let you down because he is holy. That is the highest quality of God. That's why he tells him in 1 Peter 1 and 15 and 16, he said, be ye holy. That is the highest quality. So what are we working for? To be holy. I was going to have Minister Simon and praise team sing, we are holy, Lord. But I said, no, I just say that. I let him be led. Right? But holiness is the highest part. So because God is holy, it says, and now, you don't have to worry about a thing. This is your guarantee. God is pure. God is holy. God won't fail you. God won't let you down. God's holiness overshadows all of his other characteristics. His what? Holiness. Yes, he's merciful, but his mercy is not where his holiness is. He's merciful because he is holy. God is a gracious God, but God is gracious because he is holy. That holy means God is so pure, he won't let you down. So the psalmist said, because he's so pure, I'm going to praise him because I know he is the praises of him. He says, our fathers, yes, Lord, trusted in thee, they trusted in thou didst. He's talking about God's holiness. Every once in a while, you got to remind yourself of what God has already
done.
You got to remind yourself of the hills, the valleys, and the mountains that God has already brought you through.
Yes.
Amen. You got to just say, when I think
of the good
times, I think.
Yes,
in the midst of my situation, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me, all my soul can do is cry. Hallelujah.